Hi, Nisha.
Hi.
With a hepatitis patient, if they're not in the room at that time, if like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, if a patient is not in that room, can I put patient that is that doesn't have the antibodies in that area?
Let me get clear on your question. You're saying a Hep B positive patient is dialyzed in the Hep B positive room only on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you want to put a general patient in the room?
Not in the room, next to that room.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to put a general patient around there that doesn't have the
immune status, yes.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, CMS does not have anything to say on it, but I'll ask Terry to comment on it.
I offered to help Nisha answer the questions only if she needed it, and she probably doesn't. As far as patients eating on dialysis, there is really no official stance of CMS. However, you have to take the individual patient need into consideration. Remember, you develop a plan of care based on that individual patient assessment. So you want to consider your long-term care patients, diabetic patients, whatever that patient's individual need is. What a surveyor may look kind of with an eyebrow up at is a very rigid facility policy that says no patient can eat during dialysis no matter what, because that probably would not be considered individualizing that patient plan of care. Did that answer the question?
Hi, Nisha.
How are you?
On dialysis, when we draw in blood on a patient, what is the EMS procedure to draw the blood? Like we draw in blood on the patient, usually the clerk usually put the label on the tube, and we draw the blood. What is the real procedure for drawing that blood? Now we have the one who have, we're supposed to put the label on it now. And on each patient, to identify the patient, we know as the patient for the name and put the label and draw the blood. What is the real EMS procedure for drawing blood?
I don't think there's any regulations on it, but for safety reasons, for avoiding human errors, probably a facility is making you do that, that you label the blood immediately upon drawing it. I don't know. There's no regulations or any requirement on that.
Yes, I have a question. Like you were saying, if you got a hepatitis B patient in isolation, but you also assigned three other patients, can you make a clarification on that?
Who's speaking first, number one?
I'm here.
Okay.
So what, if you have four patients and one of them is hep B positive in ISO, can you make a clarification on that? You were saying something about before, you know, you shouldn't be assigned that patient. If you have three other patients, you're taking care of a clarification.
Can you repeat that question again?
You have four patients. But out of them four patients, one of them is an isolation patient, hep B positive.
Okay.
So is there any kind of CMS regulation that you shouldn't be taking care of the other three if you have a positive hep B patient?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, that's what I was saying, just a clarification.
Okay. What I said is if you have an isolation, if you have a patient in an isolation room, the staff member that is taking care of that patient in the isolation room must only care for the immune patients around that area at the same time. Am I clear? Or did you got it? Okay.
Hi. You mentioned earlier that in regards to the PPE, that every staff that's in front of the patient must wear a gown.
Yeah.
My question is, so all staff, even the dietitians and...
Especially during high-risk procedures, when there is initiation or termination going on, and that they are talking to a patient or providing some kind of service there, they are required to wear the full PPE.
The disposable PPE, right?
Yes.
How about the lab gowns that they have? You know, the coat?
Yeah.
Are they allowed to walk into the kitchen, to the office with that?
Oh, no. 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 Did I answer that? No. You cannot wear the same thing and go from station to station. No.
What if we were caring for an ISO patient? We had our other patients that were immune status. And let's say we're, you know, walking through the unit and we have a patient that is unattended, that is having a severe, I mean, let's say they coded. Would I be able to provide that first response? Or, I mean, what would your advice be there?
You're talking about a patient that is non-immune and is not in the area around the isolation station. And you have, and you are the person who is caring for an isolation patient, and so will you be able to provide emergency care? Yes, you can. But not, you know, like if you're in the isolation room and you're doing an initiation or termination, you're not going to walk out of the room, leave that patient alone, and go, You're a patient care provider. You're responsible for any or every patient that is in the unit. So if there is an emergency, if you see an emergency, you need to act.
Absolutely. Of course, the rule is there should be no routine assigning of susceptible patients while you're undergoing activities of high possible risk for transmission. In other words, initiation, termination, dialysis. And we all know that you know what you do when you leave the isolation room when you're doing your caring for an isolation patient. You take everything off and you wash your hands thoroughly. I mean, that's just a given, even when you come to take care of any patients at all. But nobody would ever in any way, shape, or form think that you would not deliver emergency care. Now, do you answer the alarm on a susceptible patient's machine when you are assigned to the isolation station, reasonably thinking if you're the only technician there in the vicinity, that patient needs you to answer that alarm?
Yes.
Come on, yeah. Now, we're talking of the assignment, your routine assignment. Reasonable.
All right. Thank you, Nisha.